Support for On Point and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Lift the burden of getting a home loan with Rocket Mortgage and get a secure, transparent home loan approval in minutes. Skip the bank, skip the waiting, and go completely online at quickenloans.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. Donald Trump's Attorney General Jeff Sessions recused himself from the investigation of Russian involvement in the U.S. election and potential Trump team collusion. But yesterday, Sessions recommended firing the leader of that investigation, FBI Director James Comey, and the president did just that. Stunning. This hour on Point, the James Comey firing, what just happened here, why, and what comes next? You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Do you buy the line that this is about Comey's handling of Hillary Clinton's emails? Do we have a purge here, a constitutional crisis? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Joining me now from Washington is Aruna Viswanatha. She covers the Department of Justice for the Wall Street Journal. Aruna, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Tom. Good to be with you.
And from Washington, Howard Fineman joins us, Global Editorial Director for the HuffPost. Howard Fineman, welcome back.
Thanks. Great to be with you, Tom.
Aruna, can you tell us at this moment where things stand? Who's running the FBI?
So at this very moment, it's the Deputy Director, Andrew McCabe, who is the acting director. Senior Justice Department officials are going to be interviewing candidates for an interim director today and tomorrow, and they should have that announcement shortly. So Andrew McCabe is currently the acting. There'll be an interim, and then at some point in the coming weeks, the White House will have to nominate a permanent director.
Do we know if the investigation into the alleged Russia meddling or Trump team collusion in the 2016 elections, do we know if that investigation goes on?
Yes, it does. It's being handled, for the most part, by career agents, career prosecutors. They have not left. They're still working that case.
And if the new acting director or the successor to James Comey says stop, does it stop?
Theoretically, it could, but I don't think that's not how the Bureau works. I don't see that as being politically feasible or institutionally feasible.
Explain why not. A director surely has a lot of sway over what priorities are at the FBI, staffing that's allotted to investigations, tempo, resources. Are you seriously suggesting that it doesn't matter who's director of the FBI?
The Bureau is made up of career agents. There's literally no political appointees there. There's one director who is appointed to serve a 10-year term, and yes, President Trump will be able to appoint that director. But it's made up of career agents. I think you would see a huge revolt within the agency if the investigation was actually shut down.
Howard Fineman, do you think it'll read that way to the country, to the world? Doesn't matter.
The thing is now, Tom, and I think Donald Trump and his people have concluded this. They're going to try to power their way through this because politics is so divided in the country, and the acceptance of facts and actions depend on where you come from politically. That my sense of it is they're going to try to power through this, and whatever is required, they're going to do. I thought it was interesting that not long ago, Senator Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, came out onto the floor of the Senate and fully defended the firing, said, let's see who the new FBI director is going to be. Let's not get in the way of the Senate investigation. So he appealed to the senator's institutional loyalties and so forth. McConnell's on board. I think you're going to see most of the rest of the Republican leadership crossing their fingers and staying on board with Donald Trump. And that's all Donald Trump thinks he needs. Will the whole country stand up and revolt? Politically anymore, Tom, there is not one whole country. And Trump is relying on his base to stick with him.
Let's get right into the way this might be seen within the FBI. Aruna Viswanatha, please stand by. And Howard Fineman, Michael Tabman joins us right now from Kansas City, Missouri, retired special agent in charge with the FBI, led 250 FBI agents in a 3-state area, was with the FBI for 24 years, now out. Michael Tavin, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
What kind of signal does the firing of James Comey send to the FBI, the inside?
It's a very chilling signal. Irrespective of how anyone may have felt about the way Comey handled the Clinton emails, I myself was critical of the way he handled it. The time to address that is long gone. This clearly comes as a warning shot to anybody who's going to want to move forward, and I think there's a chill in the air at the FBI regarding the investigation of Russian meddling and collusion with the Trump administration.
You were in the FBI for a long time. You say a warning shot. What do you mean? A warning shot to whom? Over what?
To anyone who might be planning on looking this closely into the Trump administration, to the next director, and anyone in the decision-making process.
But Arun Viswanathan covers the Department of Justice. She says you've got career agents in there. The machinery of investigation will go ahead regardless of who's at the top.
And I agree with that. I heard that and I agree with that because you do have career agents, and if anyone tries to shut it down, there will be a hue and cry. Information will start leaking out. However, the director of the FBI does set the tone, does, as you suggested, give manpower and can divert manpower away, can certainly start to quash it in discreet ways. I don't think there'd be an overt shutdown of the investigation, but I hopefully the career FBI agents in there who wish to remain apolitical will push on and not allow any political interference.
Is that ultimately possible, Michael? I mean, the way the FBI works on the inside, if an investigation goes forward, does it necessarily go forward at speed? Does it go forward at full depth and seriousness? And do its results necessarily get shared with the American public?
Well, the results of an investigation should only get shared with the public if it goes through the prosecution. The information gets leaked out is contrary to FBI and DOJ rules. But remember, the prosecution still has to come through the Department of Justice that is led by the appointed Attorney General, who's already had to recuse himself, and now we have Deputy Attorney General who has weighed in on this, or at least supposedly weighed in on this via that letter. So there's still a lot of politics in the machine here leading to the ultimate prosecution, if there is to be one, of this investigation.
Does it look to you as a longtime FBI agent that Comey mishandled the Clinton email circumstances so seriously that he should be out?
Well, I do think he mishandled it. I was very clear on that in my own blog. But at the time, candidate Trump applauded this Comey's public rebuke of Clinton. He had ample time to think about it. When he came on as president, he decided to keep Comey on. So the fact that this is being used as a reason, it just lacks any credibility.
Aruna, here we've got Jeff Sessions, who's recused himself from the Russian investigation, but he's the one recommending this firing to the president. Isn't there a kind of built-in strangeness there, even a conflict?
There definitely is built-in strangeness there. The timing is very odd. The Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, was just confirmed 2 weeks ago, and I think the entire law enforcement community had high hopes for him. He's very well respected, but this is his essentially first major public action. And so I think that raises a lot of questions about how fully he was driving this, or if the Attorney General or the White House sort of ordered the Justice Department to come up with a memo to justify the firing.
Howard, we've got our FBI veteran here saying this is a chilling signal. This is a warning shot for whoever may follow Comey to steer clear of, touching this kind of third rail of the Russian investigation. But at the same time, you've got an investigation that goes on.
That's exactly right. I think it is chilling. And I think this came at a crucial time. As the New York Times and others have reported, CNN and others have reported, a grand jury apparently is sitting in the Eastern District of Virginia that's issuing subpoenas. So when you get down to starting to issue subpoenas, you're really getting to it. And that was one of the things that Donald Trump could not stand, in my view. That's my sense of it. He was enraged by this. He's enraged by the fact that the Russia investigation is going on. He takes it personally, not only as a threat, a threat maybe legally to his, if not to him, and then to his circle, for sure, but also politically, because he rightly thinks it to some extent undermines the legitimacy of his presidency. So he's going to play. It was clear to me that he had decided that Comey was too much of a loose cannon. To mix my metaphors, yeah. Comey would not play ball. He could not rely on Comey to be quiet. that Comey, for example, publicly disagreed with Donald Trump when Donald Trump kept saying that his phones had been tapped at the Trump Tower. Comey took the unusual step of coming out publicly and saying that was baloney. And in his testimony on the Hill the other day, Comey made it clear, and indeed James Clapper made it clear, that there was an ongoing investigation, that they were looking at business relationships and financial relationships. And in the old, since everybody's making a Watergate analogy, let me throw out another one, follow the money. And I think that's what this grand jury was doing. I think the FBI, in classic fashion, was probably going to follow the money of Trump's advisors and inner circle in the campaign to see if there was a financial relationship to Russia, and out of that, a political one. If Trump was going to do this, now was the last moment he could do it, and he took the advantage of the fact that Comey misstated things about the number of emails from Huma Abedin to Anthony Weiner that were on the laptop. He'd made a factual mistake that indeed much of the, quote, mainstream press had pounced on just the other day. And I think the microclimate politically was such, combined with all the other things I mentioned, that Trump felt that this was the moment to move.
Michael?
And he's going to challenge the Democrats to filibuster whoever the next FBI director might be, because then there won't be anybody running the FBI, which is probably what Donald Trump wants.
Nobody in charge of the FBI. Michael Tabin, how serious this chill, and what effect do you think it could have on the operations of the FBI?
Oh, I think it's going to have a very serious effect on the operations of the FBI. The FBI and the agents work very hard to not only be apolitical, but to be perceived as apolitical. Whether that is a perception or reality, it is very important to the Bureau. And I think they're going to move very cautiously. They're going to be afraid to make certain decisions now. And I think they're going to be kind of in a holding pattern, not in terms of this investigation, just in terms of moving forward until they see the selection for the next FBI director.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the firing of FBI Director James Comey by President Donald Trump as Comey's FBI investigates the Trump team's Russia ties and talk of a constitutional crisis swirls in Washington. Aruna Viswanatha is with us. She covers the Department of Justice for the Wall Street Journal. They, of course, were right in the middle of this. Attorney General Jeff Sessions recused from the Russia investigations, recommending this firing to the president, and the president acting on it. Howard Fineman is with us, global editorial director for the HuffPost. He's watched Washington for a long time. Michael Tabin is with us, a retired special agent in charge with the FBI, ran about 250 or so FBI agents, with us today from Kansas City, Missouri. You can join us. What do you think? Can the president come off as fair, disinterested here when Comey is investigating his team for potential collusion with Russia? Do we have a crisis here, a constitutional crisis, a president purging his top law enforcement officer to protect his own flank? Or is he right to do this? Did Comey, as the president asserts and the Department of Justice asserts, so badly bungle the Clinton email business that he ought to be out? Here was Senate Minority Leader Democrat Chuck Schumer yesterday questioning the timing of Trump's firing of FBI Director James Comey.
The first question the administration has to answer is why now? If the administration had objections to the way Director Comey handled the Clinton investigation, they had those objections the minute the president got into office. But they didn't fire him then. Why did it happen today?
And here's a senior advisor, Kellyanne Conway, to the White House, talking on CNN last night.
It has nothing to do with Russia. It has everything to do with whether the current FBI director has the president's confidence and can faithfully and capably execute his duties.
We're looking at what's going on here. People really, eyes wide open now, trying to understand exactly what is the truth of what is unfolding. Kyle Wingfield joins us right now from Atlanta, Georgia, a columnist for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He's written in support of the firing of James Comey. You can link to his column at our website, onpointradio.org. Kyle, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom. Good to be with you.
You hear all the Sturm und Drang about this, people really concerned about what's actually going on. You've written in support of this firing. Why, Kyle? What's your case?
Well, I think there are two issues here. I think one is it's clear that there is agreement across the spectrum that James Comey had lost a great deal of credibility as director of the FBI. And so I think the question of whether he was fit to remain in that position, the answer is no, and his dismissal is justified. I think the question of what happens now to that investigation can be viewed separately, because I think the important thing now, and I think you see Republicans in Congress saying things to this effect, as well as Democrats, is that he be replaced by someone who is viewed as having credibility in his or her own right, and also some independence in this matter. And Congress can take a very strong role in ensuring that that's the kind of person who replaces James Comey, and that the investigation proceeds, or the investigations proceed in the meantime.
Kyle, back up for a second. He's lost confidence, you say, and why? Come, give it to us again, if you would.
I think a lot of people have lost confidence in James Comey's ability to lead the FBI because of the way that the Clinton investigation was handled last year. You saw Republicans upset by the actions he took in July, having a press conference and saying that he was deciding that she should not be prosecuted rather than a prosecutor. And then you saw Democrats upset at how he reopened very publicly the investigation last October. I don't think there's a lot of question that many people across the spectrum doubted his ability and his credibility in that position going forward.
People have been upset from both angles. But what about Chuck Schumer's question, why now, when, you know, subpoenas are going out around investigations here, and people just wonder, why not January 20th, January 21st, January 22nd? Why now, Kyle?
Well, I think it's fair to question the timing. I mean, it certainly doesn't look good, especially when you have reports coming out right afterward that subpoenas had been issued in that case. So, again, I think the matter for those in Washington, Republicans and Democrats, forward is less about questioning the firing of James Comey, which everyone or many people seem to agree on, and more about, okay, what needs to happen next to ensure that there isn't an effect on those investigations from his firing.
I just want to back up and test this for a moment. Michael Tabin, you were with the FBI for a long time. You're still in touch with a lot of people in the FBI. As had James Comey lost the confidence of the FBI, of the organization that he led until yesterday, last night?
I know there was a segment of the FBI agent population who strongly disagreed with his decision not to prosecute Hillary. And I know there were other agents also, as myself, who disagreed with the way he handled it. However, I don't believe that translates into a complete inability of him to continue to lead the FBI. But I have to go back again to two issues that just don't pass the smell test. One, of course, is the timing, which we discussed. And two is a letter written to James Comey. In there, his handling of the Clinton emails was not even the subject of the letter. It was President Trump saying, you've on three times said I wasn't the target of the investigation. And that leads me to wonder what message was more important getting out there, whether it was Comey's supposed mishandling of the Clinton emails or President Trump wanting to get out to the public the fact that Comey may or may not have said that to him. And also, I want to bring out a third point, is the way it was done. This is not the way you dismiss the director of the FBI who has served honorably in the Department of Justice while he's away speaking at a field office, having a messenger come to his office while he's away, and him finding out through the media. There's a way to handle it. This was done with the intent to humiliate him and do it disrespectfully. And I think that shows, you know, the personal animus behind his dismissal.
Aruna, can we confirm that the FBI Director Comey, until last night, had in fact told the president three times that he was not the target of investigation related to the Russia investigation?
I don't know that we can't. And it may have happened.
We can't. We haven't gotten much clarity on that. I mean, the White House is not really explaining what he's referring to by those three instances. And so, no, we do not know any more about that yet. But obviously, that's one of the questions, one of the bigger questions the White House is going to be facing today.
The president asserts it in the letter. Independent confirmation? No, not at hand, says Aruna. A call for you, Mary. Aruna, Mary in Milwaukee. Mary, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom and Gus. Well, I'm just wondering now that Comey's been fired, if that doesn't release him from any type of a gag order and allow him to spill his guts and go public with any credible evidence he might have with the Trump investigation.
Aruna, what about it? What restraints might the former, now former FBI director be under once he's out of that office, which is now?
Well, usually even when senior high-ranking government officials leave office, they're usually still under obligations not to reveal classified information, and I doubt that he would completely disclose everything he knows, but I also don't expect him to go away quietly, and so I would expect to hear from him at some point in the coming months, if not today or tomorrow. I expect him to come out at some point and explain more of what happened behind the scenes.
Talk about a loose cannon when he's not even director. That would be very interesting indeed. Aruna Viswanatha with the Wall Street Journal covering the Department of Justice. I know we have to let you go. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Let's go to Lawrence in Winthrop, Maine. Lawrence, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Okay, what do you see?
I heard a question put out of why now. Everybody's kind of asking why now. My question would be, would it have mattered if it happened January 20th or January 21st? First, would it have changed anybody's outlook on this whole conspiracy theory of, oh, Trump fired him all of a sudden, you know? He was getting fired regardless. The American people have kind of lost faith in him, both sides. I mean, Hillary's out saying it's his fault she lost the election.
I mean, it would have been different, I guess, Lawrence, in this way, that on January 20th, this whole Russian investigation was not up on the rails, and we couldn't have known that it would be.
It was up on the rails. It was already being investigated.
Well, but the public knew nothing about that. So, you know, it's not that the people would have looked around and said, wait a minute, you're knocking out the guy who's on your trail.
But that's not true, though. He's just the head of the FBI. He's not actually the one investigating anything.
Well, he's directing everything that happens at the FBI. I take your call. I take your point, Howard Fineman. Hey, you know,
I think there would have been a hue and cry whenever Donald Trump did it. But my view here is, based on the reporting I've done and my knowledge of Trump and his circle, is that they were wondering whether they could play ball with James Comey or whether James Comey would play ball with them. Comey was obviously politically damaged goods. I mean, Comey had made a fool of himself repeatedly and was, in an effort not to be political, and painful effort not to be political, he became way too political. And that's what got him crosswise, and he was never going to recover fully. So he was damaged goods, and I think Trump thought, aha, he's damaged goods, maybe he'll play ball with me here. That's my take on it. But Comey being Comey, he absolutely refused to do it, and again went public with things that were designed to irritate Donald Trump, or that he knew or should have known would irritate Donald Trump.
No evidence of Trump Tower being tapped.
No evidence of Trump Tower being tapped. I mean, Comey came out instantly and publicly shooting that down from the President of the United States. And then in his various pieces of testimony and public commentary, making it clear that there was, in fact, an investigation, that in fact it was looking at the financial dealings, among other things, of the circle of advisors and campaign people around Donald Trump during the campaign. And I think Donald Trump, who's no dummy, could see where this was going. The FBI was going to work from the outside in. They were going to follow the money. They were going to see if they could get things on some people and squeeze them and squeeze their way into the inner circle of Donald Trump's campaign and indeed into his White House. And so Trump, I think, has been looking for ways and times to do this. They needed to get, because Sessions had to recuse himself from the Russia investigation, they had to wait till Rosenstein came in there as the deputy attorney general to have a credible person to write the letter that would serve as the justification for firing Comey. And it wasn't until Rosenstein came in, and by the way, he was, as McConnell pointed out this morning, he was confirmed 94-6 by the U.S. Senate.
Yep.
So they finally had a credible guy in there who could write the write the letter, the firing letter. And then they waited for a specific moment of, as I called it, the microclimate of politics to be the best that they could get, which was Comey messing up about facts in the Huma Abedin business. and they pounced. And it's clear that Trump has been furious and angry about this from the beginning. And he thought maybe he could deal with Comey. He couldn't. And Comey had to be out.
I got to say, it looks like crocodile tears to complain about the way Comey handled the Clinton business last fall when not long at all before the election, he came out talking about it. I mean, listen here. This was October, last October. This was the president in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. The crowd chanting, lock her up, as they did at so many Trump rallies. You saw it, Howard. I saw it. And candidate Trump replying, yeah, lock her up is right.
Crooked Hillary Clinton. Oh, she's crooked, folks. She's crooked as a $3 bill. Okay, here's one. Just came out. Lock her up is right. No.
Happy to go down that road at that time. Shane in Tampa, Florida. Shane, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Sure. Yeah, I just think that it's all so obvious. I'm glad we're discussing it, but I hope we eventually get to discussing what we should do when we find out what actually is going on, what exactly looks like. He was ticked off, President Trump, that is, was upset his affairs were getting looked into. Perhaps Comey told them they weren't going to be specifically, but at some point, if they're investigating it, of course they're going to look into it. He says what's on his mind. He can't help himself. And, you know, he fired the guy for doing his job, and his circle of protected advisors is getting smaller and smaller. He's down to his attorney general, who had to recuse himself. It's not looking good.
Well, there's a lot of heat right now. That's for darn sure. Howard Fineman said he's chosen a moment where he thinks maybe he can tough it out. Let's go to the White House and ask Margaret Tolliv is with us, senior White House correspondent for Bloomberg News. Michael Tabin, Kyle Wingfield, stand by. Margaret, thanks for joining us. What's the tone out of the White House today as this firestorm comes in response to the firing of the FBI director?
Well, the tone has been thus far very protective of the president, and sort of the theme is, what's everyone freaking out about? There's nothing weird about any of this. But in fact, this decision to dismiss Comey came as news to the overwhelming majority of the team over at the White House yesterday, who in the hours since have scrambled to be able to support the president with, you know, credible explanations about what this does or doesn't mean. One theme that we keep hearing is that this is not going to have any impact, that the intent is not for this to have any impact on an independent investigation into Russian interference, because Jim Comey is not the FBI. Jim Comey is just one guy, and the FBI is full of professionals, and any investigation that's underway is going to continue. But it's my sense that there's a little bit of surprise on the part of a lot of the president's advisors that there's been such sort of fast and furious blowback by Democrats and some pushback from Republicans as well. I think the original calculation of the president was that since the Democrats, so many Democrats had griped about Comey last year in the context of Clinton, that they either wouldn't be inclined to or wouldn't really be in any position to object to this. And of course, that's not how this has ended up.
Do we have any talk of a timetable for bringing out another name, a replacement for the FBI director for Comey?
I've heard two different competing scenarios from the senior advisors that I've talked to in the last, 12 to 18 hours. I sort of lost track of the time here.
Sure.
But one is that they want to move swiftly because they don't want anything to be disrupted, and that it's entirely possible that he could begin speaking with potential replacements, or at least folks who would recommend potential replacements, between now and the time that he leaves for his first foreign trip at the end of next week. The second scenario or explanation that I've heard is that being deliberative and getting this right is much more important than being speedy, and that the process is going to unfold as it unfolds. So, I mean, I guess both can be true to some extent. We do think that it's not like they're starting from completely zero here, because this sort of on and off discussion about whether Jim Comey was really going to work as Donald Trump's FBI director has been going on since, last December, since the transition. And it has been latent for a while, certainly picked up in the last, week and a half or so, it seems. But those in the White House who I think didn't really want Comey to stay had already been thinking, well, if he wasn't there, who might it be?
I mean, there are names people are speculating already. I don't know, Chris Christie, even Rudy Giuliani. Are you hearing names?
Sort of, but it's unclear whether that's right or not. The senior folks who I talked to, in the hours right after this happened, seem to be downplaying the idea that it would be like such a high-profile Republican political figure, although I think nobody
Margaret,
really
the thought.
Knows.
We'll come right back to that. Margaret Talla with Bloomberg News, Howard Feynman with HuffPost, Kyle Winfield with us from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and FBI vet Michael Tabman. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
Support for On Point and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, it's important to work with someone you can trust who has your best interests in mind. With Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process that gives you the confidence you need to make an informed decision. Skip the bank, skip the waiting, and go completely online at quickenloans.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about the firing of FBI Director James Comey by President Trump as Comey's FBI investigates the Trump team's Russia ties. Talk of a constitutional crisis in Washington today. Kyle Winfield is with us from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He's written in support of the firing. Michael Tabman is with us, 24-year veteran of the FBI, with us from Kansas City, Missouri today. He says, chilling effect, likely outcome here within the FBI and maybe beyond. Margaret Tolliver is with us. She covers the White House for Bloomberg News. Howard Feynman here, Global Editorial Director for the Huffington Post. You can join us. Do you trust that James Comey's successor, to be named by, nominated by anyway, President Trump, will vigorously carry through the Russia investigation to whatever is the truth? Is it time for an independent, a special prosecutor here? A lot of talk about that today. Will Republicans do the right thing here? Will Democrats? Is the White House playing this straight, true, proper? What are we actually witnessing here? It's just a sense of the conversation back and forth in Washington over the last, well, less than 24 hours. Here was Chuck Schumer, the Senate Minority Leader, last night.
Were these investigations getting too close to home for the president? It is troubling that Attorney General Sessions, who had recused himself from the Russian investigation, played a role in firing the man leading it.
More Schumer, need a special prosecutor.
The American people need to have faith that an investigation as serious as this one is being conducted impartially, without a shred of bias. The only way the American people can have faith in this investigation is for it to be led by a fearless, independent special prosecutor.
More Schumer.
Every American will rightly suspect that the decision to fire Director Comey was part of a cover-up.
But there's another perspective here. Here was Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine talking with Fox News last night. Any suggestion that this was a obstruction of kind of firing, what she said was patently absurd.
The president did not fire the entire FBI. He fired the director of the FBI. And any suggestion that this is somehow going to stop the FBI's investigation of the attempts by the Russians to influence the elections last fall is really patently absurd. This is just one person. It's the director. The investigation is going forward both at the FBI and in the Senate Intelligence Committee in a bipartisan way. So I don't think there's any link at all.
Absurd, says Senator Collins, to suggest an effort to shut down here. Dory in Jamestown, Rhode Island. Dory, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I am just wondering why no one addresses the issue that it's so obvious that this has been strategically planned, that Comey goes down and all the rest of the FBI is in fear. There's a culture of fear, so that if this investigation continues, and I hope it does, that people are going to be afraid of getting fired. So there's going to be a very careful line that they're going to tread.
Dory, let us pick it up. Margaret Tolliver, how does this go forward? The president will nominate somebody. Then what happens on Capitol Hill? What's required? Nominate, you need a Senate confirmation?
Yeah, you know, there will be that entire process. And in the interim, the acting director is this longtime law enforcement official, Andrew McCabe, who White House officials themselves say, they're not really talking about this publicly, but, you know, behind the scenes are saying, if we really wanted to throw a monkey wrench in the Russian investigations, do you think we would put a guy as the acting director whose wife had been involved in Democratic politics and had ties to Hillary Clinton? Now, look, there are a lot of
He's in charge for, I don't know how long here,
That's exactly part of it. So if the Democrats make a calculation that they really want to drag this out, I suppose they could do that. I'm not sure that's good for the country, and I'm not sure that that's the position, the posture that they want to be in. But certainly a couple of things matter. One is who does the president ultimately tap to be the next FBI director? And we all know from Bill Clinton's history that sometimes when you dismiss an FBI director,
the only other time an FBI director has been dismissed, Bill Clinton. This is only the second time in American history, I guess.
And that new FBI director certainly may want to show everyone, including the president, how independent they are. And so President Trump does not know what he's trading Jim Comey for yet, and that all matters. But this doubling down by Democrats about the ongoing Senate investigations, and by enough key Republicans that there seems to be a real commitment on both sides of the aisle now to go forward with those congressional investigations, those are important. But a congressional probe is one thing. A criminal investigation is different and has different scope and different capabilities. And so I think it remains, to be seen whether this slows that investigation down, creates any sort of a climate of anything, or whether the investigation goes forward entirely with the momentum that it already has behind it.
Tom, Howard.
Can I?
Yes.
Well, first of all, don't forget that the president has called the entire idea of investigating Russia's role in influencing or more his campaign a charade and a hoax. Trump's intention here is to politicize this as much as possible, to make it a partisan matter, and make it impossible for Washington to agree on anything. That's his whole strategy all the way along. It's not to unite, it's to play to his base and to make agreement impossible. And that's his goal here. To think that they seriously want to protect, meaning the White House, seriously want to protect this investigation by the FBI is absurd. Come on. I mean, what world are we living in here? Donald Trump feels threatened by it for whatever reason. He's infuriated by it, perhaps somewhat justifiably, because he thinks it robs him of legitimacy as president. They waited till a credible guy got in there to write the memo to get rid of Comey. That's exactly what happened. And I think the Republicans are going to cross their fingers and, for the most part, not squawk about this and try to move on as possible to choosing the next FBI director. The fact that you had both Mitch McConnell and Susan Collins, people who don't agree in the Republican Party on that much, both saying, let's focus on picking the next FBI director, is music to the ears of Donald Trump and the people closest to him in the White House. I'd like to ask another question I don't know the answer to, which is, I think, something that Evan Osnos of The New Yorker may have mentioned, which is, when President Trump's personal bodyguard went over to the White House, went over to the Justice Department to deliver the letter to Comey's office while Comey was not there, and I can't believe they didn't know that Comey was in Los Angeles.
Yep.
What happened to Comey's office? What happened to his papers? What happens to all the files that he had? Who controls those? Who's going to have access to them? Will Comey have access to them again himself? I seriously doubt that. These are very, very serious, serious matters. And what happens to the subpoenas? Will there be other subpoenas going out? What is the pace of those things? I mean, there's going to be a lot of questions asked now, and I can't imagine Donald Trump interviewing a possible replacement for FBI director. Donald Trump saying, "Well, you're really going to go pedal to the metal on that investigation of my campaign, aren't you?" Trump called it a charade and a hoax. How is he going to do that?
He needs a majority to get a confirmation in the Senate. You've got Susan Collins and Mitch McConnell, but you had John McCain, very critical in the aftermath of this firing. Is it possible that you'll have holdouts in the Senate chamber within the Republican Party that would make it tough for Donald Trump?
Well, again, to the extent that he politicizes it and divides the Senate and turns it into – he is choosing political chaos over the focus on the investigation. And it's very early in an administration to be doing that. I mean, we're in day 110. Can he do that for 4 years? I seriously doubt it, but I think he's going to try.
Well, I think there are two factors to watch concurrent, and these are all really good points. One is, ultimately, what is the public reaction? Not on day one, but on day five, on day seven, on day 10. And the second is, what sort of testimony on the congressional side is being developed right now? We know that Chuck Schumer has asked for kind of like an all hands, like closed session briefing. Certainly, there's going to be a desire to get Director Comey, or former Director Comey, in some capacity to testify, or whether it's a, you know, testify or come speak behind closed doors. Is that going to happen? When is it going to happen? What's he going to say? These, on both fronts, these are details that matter for how the president is able to proceed and how congressional Republicans feel compelled to respond.
And what about an independent prosecutor? There's so much talk about that. What's required to actually make that happen?
Well, we're hearing from Mitch McConnell today saying that an independent prosecutor would interfere with the existing investigations, and he doesn't want any delays being happening on the Senate side. So it seems that that he's you know, working to shut that down. But
I see Pete Williams here at NBC saying, look, it's not up to Congress anyway. It's up to the Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, who wrote this letter. That seems highly unlikely to be something that the Department of Justice is now going to offer. Is there any real hope of that, for those who would like to see it, Howard, of that transpiring?
No, I don't think so, because I think what McConnell said today was that it's so important and so precious that the Senate and the House preserve their role as investigative bodies. So he's appealing to the institutional pride of the Senate in making that argument, and they're going to continue making it. And no, the Justice Department's not going to recommend an independent prosecutor. They're not going to do it.
Kyle, you're listening there in Atlanta, and you've written in support of this firing. What about the questions that remain over what happened in the election last year? We're going to have more elections in the future. I mean, this goes to fundamental American confidence in our very democratic system. Are you concerned we could come out the other side of all of this with significantly diminished confidence in our system itself, Kyle?
I don't believe that yet, no. I think that the congressional investigations can move forward. As to the question about an independent prosecutor, look, to the extent that you're relying on a handful of Republican senators to expend political capital to ensure that these investigations are done correctly, I think asking them to spend that in support of an independent prosecutor is not the right way to go. I think Mitch McConnell is right that the key thing here is to make sure that a credible, independent director of the FBI is chosen and confirmed. And it only takes three Republicans, with the numbers the way they are, to hold out and prevent someone short of that from being confirmed. And, you know, we're very focused on this particular issue right now. But the FBI will deal with many, many issues going forward. And who knows what they will concern and whether they may concern the executive branch. And so I think getting that choice right and having someone that the public and the Bureau can have confidence in is the paramount thing here. And when I hear a Susan Collins or a Senator Lindsey Graham talk about not being concerned by this, I don't think that translates to they will support whomever Donald Trump might nominate as Comey's replacement. I think it means they're going to hold his feet to the fire.
Michael Tabin, you've spent a long time in the FBI. If the jets get cooled on the criminal investigation and it goes to the congressional investigation as the primary tool here, is that as effective in Americans finally getting to the real deep truth of what went on, Michael?
I don't think so, because it's always going to have the aura of political bias in there. And only the FBI can bring forward a criminal investigation, and only the FBI can do a thorough investigation. They are criminal investigators. They're not politicians. So I think there's no chance of getting the same type of result that you get if it stays within the FBI. But if I may, I just want to address something Howard brought up earlier.
Yes.
About the director not being in his office when he got that letter. Once that letter was issued, once he's released of his response, his job, he no longer has clearance. He cannot even come to the FBI building unescorted. All his papers were going to be locked down, taken by FBI security. He would not have access to anything. His personal effects would be sent to him.
But do we know that they stay in the FBI system? Maybe they're in the basement of the White House now. Maybe they're in Trump Tower. I don't know.
Well, I mean, if they were taken out, you know, I can't answer that. But the protocol would be that they are FBI papers, the FBI documents. They stay within the FBI, and Director Comey at the time would not have access to remove them. And I also want to bring up another point you brought up earlier, something else that doesn't pass the smell test, which is allowing the deputy director is a sign of neutrality, if it allows the deputy director to continue on. That is the natural progression in the chain of command. When Louis Freeh stepped down before the end of his 10-year term, the deputy director took over and remained in that position seamlessly until the next director was put in there. So I don't think, again, this claim that this is a sign of our neutrality has any credibility to it.
What about reputational damage, Michael? Max Boot was our guest here recently, and he's out there tweeting today, this makes the U.S. look like a banana republic when the president fires the law enforcement officer in charge of investigating his crew. What about the country's reputation, Michael?
Oh, I think it's been harmed terribly. I think the president has done more damage to the reputation of his own office than to the FBI. And to answer, you know, previous caller's question along these lines, had this been done in January, I think Howard is certainly right. That would have been a hue and cry anyway. But it certainly wouldn't have the stink it has now when we've gotten, you know, so far in the Russian investigation. So I think it would have been a totally different circumstance if, as the incoming president, made a decision, I don't want to keep him on as my director. But it didn't happen then. It happened now, and it just reeks of political assassination.
Well, here we are, 110 days in, and I don't know if it's full boil yet, but things boiling in Washington, that's for sure. Political chaos. Maybe you're right, Howard Fineman. We've got that much. We'll see what we get on the investigation front, on the successor front. I want to thank all four of you for being with us. Michael Tabman, 24-year veteran of the FBI, with us today from Kansas City, Missouri. Michael, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Kyle Wingfield, columnist for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He's written in support of the firing. You can see that op-ed piece at our website. Link to it, onpointradio.org. Kyle, thanks for joining us from Atlanta.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Margaret Tolliv, senior White House correspondent for Bloomberg News. Always great to have you, Margaret. Please keep in touch.
Thanks, Tom.
And Howard Fineman, global editorial director of the now, not Huffington Post, the Huff Post. Howard, thanks for joining us as always.
We removed a few syllables there to make it more efficient.
Rebranded, cutting it down, all over. HuffPost, off we go. Listeners, you can continue this conversation. Get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.